And it'd be helpful to have Ruth 4 open, back on page 269 of a few Bibles, possibly. And I hope you've been enjoying this story. A great story. It's got death, it's got romance. And now as we come to chapter 4, we're looking for a happy ending. A happy ending, because that's what we want, isn't it? That's what we enjoy from films and stories, and that's what we look for from life. And it was great, actually, Anne, thank you. Had this sort of illustration of the tapestry you may have come across before, where all of our lives are kind of little threads come into our lives, and we see little parts of it, but God is working this great, beautiful tapestry. And every now and then, as we look at a story like Ruth, and as God raises our eyes a little bit, we see something of what God is doing wider in his world and through history. Does that make sense? As we look at our own lives, we see kind of a thread or two. We see these little bits, and it may or may not make sense what is going on. But God is doing something bigger, something greater. We'll see that in Ruth. And we will see that in our own lives. And Ruth is a great little story, a true story in a particular time in history. If you've been going through week by week, you'll know that Ruth is set in the time of Judges, kind of a bleak time for God's people. They're in the place, they're in the right place, but they have some serious ups and downs. God occasionally raises a judge to look after them. They turn away from God, their sin. And the last verse of Judges, just before we get to the book of Ruth, says the people did what was right in their own eyes. It was a scary time. It was an uncertain time. And we see something of that in Ruth. In Ruth 1, Naomi and Elimelech, they leave God's land. There's a famine and they decide to leave where God is. Then there's all sorts of personal disasters that happen to them. Naomi arrives back in the land just with one daughter-in-law, Ruth. And then we start to see something of God's blessings, God's kindness. Do you remember gleanings in the fields? They're provided food. And in chapter 3, Ruth goes to Boaz, who is a kinsman redeemer, someone in their family, who says, please marry me. Please marry me. Please look after me, Naomi. Please look after our family. Please provide for a future. It looks like there might be a happy ending. But Boaz says in chapter 3, there's one other. There's a kinsman redeemer who is nearer to you than me. I need to ask him what he wants to do. We go, oh no! Oh no, we don't want this person. We want Boaz. What is going to happen? And what we see in chapter 4 is something called redemption. This redeemer word is enacted out, and we see something called redemption. You may know it's sort of a picture of buying back. So think of sort of slave markets at the time. If you buy back a slave, you are redeeming them. It has a price there. That's the picture. And so here we arrive in chapter 4. And in verse 1, Boaz goes up to the town gate. He sits down, and literally the word is, behold, the kinsman redeemer arrives, comes along. And Boaz says, come over here and sit down. They're sitting down for legal business. So we see the first thing about redemption here. It's a legal business. In verses 2 and 4, it's very clear. Boaz calls some of the elders. He comes and says, sit down. We're going to do some legal business. It needs to be witnessed. We need to do this properly. And he talks about Naomi and the land. We're not entirely sure what's going on here. There seems to be two sort of bits of legal business, sort of laws going on, kicking around the back of this. One is redemption of the land. Do you remember God's people in God's land? They need a particular place for each of their families. And it seems that in the years where Naomi and Elimelech have left their land, well over 10 years, they've been gone a long time, it's been appropriated by someone else. They need the land. It's an agricultural community. And so to some extent, this land needs to be bought back for this family. So that's going on. Do you want to buy back this land for this family? Secondly, there's kind of a marriage thing going on. The name of Elimelech and then Mahlon and Chilion looks like it might die out. Will you take part
in carrying on that name in the land. We see God's care for the vulnerable, the widow, the orphan in this legal system. And we see redemption has a legal, a just basis. And at the end of verse 4, if you look down, Boaz is offering this to this nameless kinsman redeemer. And the kinsman redeemer says, I will redeem it. Yes, I will buy back this land and look after Naomi, the widow. We sort of say, oh no! If you're following this story, we know Ruth and Boaz, there's a history there. We don't want this other guy. We want Boaz. But there's the legality of redemption. Next, in verses 5 to 8, we see something of the cost. And Boaz, I like to imagine he's got a bit of a twinkle in his eye. He says, ah, yes, when you buy this land and look after the old widow Naomi, you also get Ruth. Ruth, the Moabitess. If you look down there in verse 5, you acquire the dead man's widow in order to maintain the name of the dead with the property. It's a bit like this. You're buying the land, you're looking after an elderly widow. So you go, oh yeah, okay, I'll look after the land, I'll look after the elderly widow, and then when she dies, well, the land will revert to me. That sounds like a good deal. Put a young widow in there, Ruth, and now you've got a responsibility to a family, the possibility of a family. If Ruth has a son, the land will be the son's, because to carry on the name. Suddenly you've got more mouths to feed. Suddenly you may not get the land yourself. It may revert to Ruth and Ruth, her son. Suddenly, the kinsman redeemer, verse 6, says, ugh, I cannot redeem it, because I might endanger my own estate. You redeem it yourself. I cannot do it. Do you see what's going on there? This is a costly deal. It has a cost to it. And the kinsman redeemer makes a sensible choice. He thinks, well, it's a lot of mouths to feed. I might not get the land. What's going on here? Actually, it'll endanger my own estate. I'm out. Boaz, you redeem it. You've said you redeem it. You redeem it. There's a cost of a redemption. But if you've been following this story, if you've been enjoying this story, there's been a number of these sensible decisions. Way back, Elimelech, chapter 1. He sees the famine in the land, and instead of turning back to God, he turns away from the land. A sensible decision, it looks like, but not a decision of faith. Or later on, Orpah and Ruth, the two daughters-in-law of Naomi. Naomi says, I'm going back to the land. You stay here with your people. Orpah makes the sensible decision, stays with her family, her people. Ruth makes the decision of faith, says, your God will be my God, your people my people, and goes with Naomi. And here we have another sensible decision. Here we have this nameless kinsman making a sensible decision, but not the decision of faith. That's a challenge to us. Sensible decisions, or decisions of faith. Well, there's a cost to this redemption. Next, in the next couple of verses, 9 and 10, we see this provision. Boaz announced to the elders and all the people, today you're witnesses, I have bought from Naomi all the property, I have acquired Ruth, the Moabitess, as my wife, in order to maintain the name of the dead with his property, so that his name will not disappear from among his family or from the town records. Today you are witnesses. He's providing security. Security for this family so that the name will not disappear. There's a little sideline about marriage which we don't have time for today, but it's a reminder that marriage is about promises, keeping to promises, not just kind of how you feel at the time or sort of being true to how you feel, but actually keeping true to promises. And we see that in God's love to us. He stays true to his promises, a picture of covenant love. We note here, Boaz is saying, verse 10, today, at the end of chapter 3, Naomi says, today he will do it. And here he is doing it, the provision of redemption that will bring assurance and inheritance, security. And isn't that a picture of the gospel that we believe? God making promises, God keeping his promises, not dependent on what we've done or how we are with him at that time, but to give us great assurance, great security as we trust in him. Our security and our inheritance depends on God's promises.
So redemption is a legal thing. It's a costly thing. It provides great assurance. And then we note again, actually, who this has been offered to. These are some strange verses, but phenomenal verses we see in 11 and 12. The elders and all those at the gate say, "We are witnesses. May the Lord make the woman who is coming into your home like Rachel and Leah, who together built up the house of Israel." Do you remember Rachel and Leah? Wives of Jacob, whose name became Israel. It's not a great time. They have sort of this competitive child-making industry. But between them, they produce the 12 tribes of Israel. May Ruth be like the very mothers of Israel. Ruth the Moabitess. Ruth from the land of the enemy of the people of God. A land which has this religion which denies God. But Ruth, who has turned and come amongst us and now truly belongs. Isn't that phenomenal? And again, you get this little bit about Perez, Tamar and Judah. Again, not a great time in Israel's history. There is, trying to provide for Tamar, she pretends to be a prostitute. Judah is her father-in-law. But through that, through this strange story, God provides a tribe in Israel, Perez. A lot of the people there would have been descendants of Perez. God is showing that as he draws these strange stories together, he is bringing about his purpose to include the outsider, Ruth, the Moabitess, fully included. Redemption is a legal thing. It is a costly thing, but it makes great provision for the outsider, even to Ruth. We see this story of redemption. God providing for Ruth and Naomi, providing a great happy ending. We see then in these next few verses, verse 13 basically has five verbs. Boaz took Ruth, she became his wife, he went to her, the Lord enabled her to conceive, she gave birth to a son. They get married, they come together, and they produce a son. A child is always God's will. If you remember in chapter 1, Ruth was actually married for 10 years without a child. But God now gives her this child. And Naomi gets the congratulations. The woman said to Naomi, "Praise be to the Lord who this day has not left you without a kinsman redeemer. May he become famous throughout Israel." She's getting the congratulations. Because in this story, we've had a story of Ruth being empty and bitter and vulnerable and in danger. And now with salvation, he will renew, verse 15 it says. He will restore or return, actually the word is, your life and sustain you in your old age. Naomi returns to the land. God provides food for her and now even her life is returning to her with the promise of this child. It's a great story, and it's a happy ending. And it's well worth tracing these things and seeing what they teach us about God and ourselves. Let's first look at Naomi. Naomi's story. Chapter 1, heartache. She loses a son. Two sons. She loses her husband. She says, "Don't call me Naomi, call me bitter. I am empty." She returns to the land. But the women here can say, "Well, this Ruth, who became your friend as well as your daughter-in-law, who loves you, who is better to you than seven sons." We're supposed to go, "What? This whole story has been about one son." But Ruth is better to you than seven sons because you have seen covenant love from Ruth. It's the one place where love is mentioned in this book, and it's the love of Ruth to Naomi. Through her, through the kindness of God, you've provided food, trolleys of food in chapter 2 and 3. And then finally, Ruth brings her son and puts him in your lap. Ruth has been a great provider for you under God. Boaz has come into your life as a great redeemer. Naomi admits this in chapter 2. Praise be to God, he's provided a redeemer for us. And provided a sure hope. We have seen to Naomi God's covenant love and promises for the future in this baby that gets called another redeemer. A redeemer for you, a promise for the future. Naomi reflects the whole people of God.
and maybe reflects you. Have you had times where difficult times have come, hard times have come? You've clung to your faith by your fingertips. God, what is happening? This is awful. I feel empty. Call me bitter. But Naomi has clung to the God who is a redeemer and who fills and who provides a redeemer and who promises a sure and certain future. Maybe that's you. And you need to hear again these threads in your life, even suffering, vulnerability, worry, can be used by God. Can be used by God. We have a wonderful redeemer. Can you feel secure in God's hand for your future? Well, follow the story of Ruth, a classic story of the gospel that we believe, actually. The outsider, far from God, turns and trusts in God. Your God will be my God. And then we see her faith in action, a risky faith, going to that barn floor amongst the men at night. My goodness, what was she thinking? She says, will you marry me? Will you provide for my future? Will you be our redeemer? A risky faith in action and included amongst the people. And if you think that might be you, even this morning, that you still feel outside and you need to take that risky step of faith, make it now. Come and tell one of us. Or if you know someone who's in that state, away from God, troubled, worried, and maybe thinking, what is the meaning of life? They need to take a risky step of faith, to turn, to come back to God, and to trust in him and his redemption. Finally, Boaz. And in Boaz, our eyes are raised up really to God's story. If this story of Ruth finished with kind of a granny in a Judean village with a baby bouncing on her knee, we'd think, oh, that's nice. But it's so much more than that, isn't it? The author lifts our eyes to biblical redemptive history. Go on, Naomi took the child. The women say, Naomi has a son. They name him Obed. He was the father of Jesse, the father of David. And it slows right down, just in case you don't get what's going on. This is the family line of Perez, father of Hezron, father of Ram, father of Amminadab, father of Nashon, father of Salmon, father of Boaz. Ah, father of Obed, yes. Father of Jesse, the father of David. Remember what time we're in? We're time of Judges. Difficult time, scary time, vulnerable time. But one is coming. The promised king, the God, the king who would be of God's heart. Do you remember David? Great hope for the nation. And then us living in these times. Who does David point to? The even greater king, Jesus. God's son, God's redeemer, God's promised king of the line of David. That's why we are reading the stories of Ruth, because it points us to Christmas. And God's King who comes. Jesus, the ultimate Redeemer. And he does that Redeemer. He does that redeeming thing from sin, from slavery to sin. Do you remember those things? The legality of redemption in the New Testament, in Romans and Galatians, it talks about Jesus fulfilling justice, fulfilling the legality before witnesses, carried out for you, for me. It talks about the cost, Jesus' personal cost of redemption in 1 Peter. For you, for me. Redemption is likened to marriage, even. God's covenant love is like a bridegroom to a bride. For you, for me. Providing an inheritance, a security. For you, for me. And it's a universal offer. John 3:16. Whoever believes shall not perish but have eternal life. You have a better ending, a happier ending, even than Ruth and Naomi. Matthew 1, we'll come to it over the next couple of weeks, has the genealogy of Jesus, and we'll see Ruth involved in that. Just like you, like him, her, we are included in this great, glorious story if we turn and trust. So we have the offer of redemption. Whoever will believe and trust in God, enjoy redemption. You can be faithful. We can be faithful in faithless times. We live in a time like judges, don't we? People do what's right in their own eyes. People do what they feel. People are messing with all sorts of things that we have thought are true. Can we be faithful?
Can we cling to God, trust that He is doing something greater through our lives and with our lives? Because the best is yet to come, brothers and sisters. The best is yet to come. Remember that tapestry? Do we have the faith to believe that our good God, that our bit of the story is part of a larger, more beautiful thing? In Ruth, we see God's purpose in the ordinariness of the lives of His people. You have a better happy ending. You can look and trust for eternity as God's children. But now we can take part in God's plans, offering happy ending to all who will accept His offer of redemption. Let's pray that God will help us to see just that. Father God, we thank You that You are a God who loves and who redeems. We thank You for this glorious true story of Ruth, where we see that acted out through all sorts of different situations. You bring about Your plans to bring about David, to bring about Jesus. Open our eyes, Father, we pray, to what You are doing in and through us. Help us to cling to You in the hard times. Help us to know that You are a God who has, You are over all the details of our lives. Help us to look to our sure and certain future. And help us to be used by You to bring others who are outside to be included in Your people through Jesus, Your Son. Amen.